Welcome back to another episode of the Supporting Local podcast. I'm Kari Saunders and today we are chatting to Michael from the Bearded Candle Makers. If you don't know, Michael does the most beautiful candles all telling the story through scent. They're all designed, hand-poured and made in Ireland. And we spoke about how there's so much talent in local businesses and how it's hard to try and compete with them. The major benefits of getting out for a walk, especially with dogs. We talked about dogs a lot. And kind of the behind the scenes of market life, it's not often a game, but it can be very fun at the same time. Now, if you enjoy this podcast, please go over to Apple Podcasts and now Spotify. Spotify has just launched a rating system, so I would love if you can go over to either one, give us a little rate, preferably 5 stars, of course. If you're on Apple Podcasts, let me know what you think. If you enjoy this episode, if you want me to chat to a certain business, and I would love to find out. And if you want to go have a look at any of Michael's products, all links will be in the description of this episode. You can go over to his Instagram, his website, and go over to see what podcast guests we've spoken to in the past as well. And let's go chat to Michael.
Started off about 8 years ago.
Oh, wow.
I guess that was the very first idea to start a business was about 8 years. And I've always been fascinated with scent.
Okay.
Smell. Growing up, I always was like, interested in really, really strange aftershaves and always sort of thinking about smells. And what kicked it off was Mum actually found this little notebook from when I was about 8 or 9 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd been writing little stories about scent and smells, like going for a walk in the forest or going camping. Or even ones was the smell of our old camper van.
We used to have this
little BW, but it wasn't a good smell.
Yeah.
It was like a nasty kind of like damp smell. But I've always been like really interested in smells. Someone bought me a candle once and I thought I could do something with this here, you know.
Yeah.
And it's been about 2 years, I think, in total, just learning how to make candles. Spent a bit of time in France. So I went and studied like natural perfumery. Just started out as a passion thing, just more fun than anything else. So like one of the first candles was like a Dumbledore's office.
I love
Harry Potter. It was like very strange old book sort of smell and then like a turf fire smell, which is still one of the biggest sellers we've ever had. So I suppose it all came around from just this idea of creating interesting smells that weren't really being done. And it just seemed to kind of set us apart. And it just started off as a hobby and giving candles as gifts for Christmas. And this demand just sort of grew up around, I know, just creating something that wasn't really being done in the industry. It was very unintentional. It wasn't like I sat down with a business plan or I think to date, I still haven't got a business plan.
Oh.
People just responded to these scents that we were creating. That sort of seemed to kickstart it all off, you know.
Fantastic. So was Dumbledore's office the very first one that you ever did then?
Yes, yeah, that was the very, very first one from day one.
What kind of inspired you to start a setup with Harry Potter and, you know, kind of book-inspired scents?
I'm just such a book nerd. I love stories, love books. Just something that's interesting, something I loved. I was never interested in like creating like a lavender candle or something very simple,
you know,
or vanilla, things that were just that anyone could do, I suppose. And I just found it very boring. Sounds very cliche. For me, it was just about doing something that like meant something to me. And
yeah, no, 100%.
Like it wasn't a big decision. It wasn't like a big, deep, meaningful thing. It was just I loved Harry Potter. Dumbledore is my favorite character. I was going through this year sort of like scent journey and I thought I would love to go to Dumbledore's office. I'd love to sit there and see what the smells were.
Yeah.
Kind of exploring my sort of passion for stories, I suppose, you know.
No, I love that. Yeah, because all of your candles have a story behind it, whether it is like Dumbledore's office or it's like the Burren, you know, down south, and there's so many and I think it's really special.
Yeah, I'm so lucky in some ways because that's what's kept the business going this whole time, I think. It started off with the idea of telling a story of Dumbledore's office, three smells. And as you say there, like the Irish faction, all my childhood was spent in the west of Ireland, traveling with my family. And then as I grew up, I got into surfing. And through surfing, I got to explore parts of Ireland that you don't get to see otherwise, you know, you cross the coastline. The Burren in County Clare is just one of the most magical parts of Ireland, I think. It just intrigued me to kind of create a scent based on this obscure little part of the Burren of Ireland. And even the words, so the name itself, a Burren Susurrus. So Susurrus is like my favorite word in the English language.
Okay.
It means all different things, but it can mean like secrets behind closed doors or kind of hard to describe.
Yeah.
And for me, the Burren is a hard place to describe because it looks very barren, but you get some really unusual like orchids that grow there and like the alpine groves. All these weird things came about and very similar to what the Dumbledore's office candle was. It was telling us sort of this scent story, but quite personal to me,
mm-hmm.
you know. I've done loads of like business mentorships and stuff over the years. And anyone I've worked with, they've always said, you can't sell a candle called a burn to service because no one knows what it means. You know, but people connect with story, even if they're not too sure what the word to service means, or even the burn.
Yeah.
They connect with the idea of the story and then hopefully they kind of like the candle.
Yeah, it was funny. My boyfriend, last year during lockdown, obviously we couldn't really see each other, and he knew that I always wanted some of your candles, but I would go to St. George's and I couldn't decide on a certain one to buy. Do you know, like I would smell them all and I'm like, I don't know which one I like the most. And last year we were actually supposed to do like a little road trip down south for his birthday. And unfortunately it was cancelled, but he didn't know. And he bought me your Irish collection. And one of them obviously is the burn, and that's where we were supposed to go. And I was like, this is so spooky that he has bought the candle kind of inspired by the place we were supposed to go to. And he's no idea.
Class. Oh, that's so lovely.
Yeah, so we were supposed to go down to Skellig. That was kind of the main thing because he loves Star Wars and everything. And then the island was just closed and we were like, look, we'll just, you know, put it off for another time.
Yeah, that's a shame. It's interesting you said too, because like during lockdown, like we probably have never been busier. And I think it was sort of stuff that got there because each of the candles is based on a particular part of Ireland.
Yeah.
Those are holidays and road trips have all been cancelled. So people were buying candles based on where they were going to go and sending them to people. Mm-hmm. And it was so lovely because on the website, you can put in like a wee note to say, you know, who's going to. And so many people were saying, we can't get there. We can't get to say Donegal this year. Yeah. So here's a candle to kind of keep you going until we're allowed to, you know. So it's lovely to see.
Yeah, I actually have the Shells Seaside Cafe over here.
Oh, brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Yeah, I love that. I love Shell's. Shell's Cafe is one of the, what the hell going on down there. It's just perfect, you know.
Obviously, you do a range of scents. So how do you come up with your new products, whether it's ones from down south or across Ireland or even more kind of book-inspired ones? What would be the process for you?
Two new collections that we're going to launch soon, which kind of answer that there. So one of them's called the Weekenders Collection. So we're passionate about just getting away and doing stuff we love. Like, bought a camper van a few months ago, so getting away in a camper van. Important to us, and campfires and our campfire. So that inspired this whole collection, this idea of like do a perfect weekend. Mm-hmm. So one of them called Campfire to Stargazing. The best conversations of my life have happened around a campfire. So we've created it here. Very similar to the turf candle, but maybe a bit sweeter.
Okay.
More so do the smell if you've been at a campfire and the next day your clothes smell.
Yeah.
So that was one of the ones. Another one was like, it's called Road Trip No Destination. The thing we do now is just literally just take off in the camper van and just see where we end up. Sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. But the idea of just taking off on the road. And one of the times we've done it was Donegal. And we've seen this here, like this fox just on the roadside way up ahead. So we put it over just to kind of watch it go by. And the smell of like all these wildflowers along the roadside kind of just filled the van. So that inspired that candle. So
they're
all about just experiences and lovely times we've had taking off for the weekend and seeing where we end up. And then the other collection is called, it's like the Irish Botanical Collection. And what we've done with that one is taken trips we've had in various places around Ireland, but that we remember a specific scent, but mm-hmm. and particularly like flowers and shrubs and plants. So like, for example, we have one, like a eucalyptus one, that's inspired by Tullymore Forest Park,
because it's
the usual big eucalyptus grove just in the middle of the forest. But I always thought it's so unusual for Ireland, you know, because I always associate eucalyptus with Australia.
Yeah.
Warmer climate. So we're going for a walk with a dog and just try to take a shortcut back to the car park and just we're surrounded by eucalyptus. That took the inspiration for that candle. Another one was bog myrtle. Bog myrtle is this here incredible lemony citrus smell discovered when we were out hiking one time. That became that candle. So all the candles, in particular the two new collections, have been inspired by very specific places we've been to. Well, the botanical collection is very much about a scent that we have discovered when we're out walking or hiking or going for a wee adventure. Whereas the weekenders are very much more about the experiences and the memories of being somewhere, you know. So we're trying to make it personal and less kind of hard to describe, because most candles are just a couple of scents kind of thrown together. In the industry, like in the candle industry, I'd say like 90% of candles made now, you just buy a bottle of scent from one of the perfume houses and you add it to your wax, make a candle, which is obviously a lot more to it. There's all the testing and a lot of other jazz. But what it means is like most of the candles available are the same. There isn't that many perfume scent houses in the UK, probably about four reputable ones, and everyone buys their scents from there, you know. Where what we've done, we've worked with like a perfume house clients to develop their own scent. Using my background from perfumery, I would create a lot of my own smells from scratch. But you can't do that anymore. You have to have them made by a perfume house. So I'm in the lucky position, having been in the perfume industry, I can send my formulas off to get made for me.
Fantastic, yeah.
But it's just so important that you can't get my candles anywhere else.
it's completely unique.
Yeah, big time.
That's one thing, actually. I don't know if you know them, Le Contour Candles. She does the kind of body form candles.
Yes, they're class.
And she was saying you can get other ones. Like, there's a lot of people can kind of just buy the molds, but she 3D prints all of hers, so hers are completely unique. And it's amazing. A wee bit, obviously they're both candles, but they're kind of completely different. You know, like yours, you can get kind of the standard scents, but you can't get your scents anywhere else.
Yeah, it's so important, because like same for yourself. The industry is saturated at the moment. Like, you know, during lockdown, it's a big thing during lockdown, people started making candles. It's made it very tough, you know, because from a purely business point of view, it means that people are making good candles at home, you know, in small batches. But what we found, and a few other makers, is it's not very hard to price candles properly. You know, whenever I'm pricing a candle, I'm putting in like my wages. I'm a full-time employee now working with me, a studio. My candles prices reflect fair wages, top quality ingredients. But people who are making from home can charge, say, half the price I'm charging. Don't think they're doing it out of like, there's no malice by any means, but just I done the same thing when I first started. My candles were far too cheap. I was well underpricing, but then done a course. It's literally just called How to Wholesale Your Candles Properly.
Yeah.
And that changed everything. But it's tough at the moment now, because as I say, the industry is saturated with really good quality candles, but they're priced in a way that's very hard to compete with, you know. But it's just one of the many issues of running your own business, I suppose, you know.
I know, of course. But I think because your candles obviously do have the personal story and the completely unique scent, like they do stand out, and it's just shouting about your candles a bit more to be like, well, do you know, look at mine, and they're not just the same as everybody else, which is really nice.
True. Well, one thing we've done this time around, the two new collections, we've actually teamed up with two artists.
Amazing.
To help you out there. So with the botanical range, incredible woman, Paula O'Hara, who's primarily a photographer, but she's also an incredible branding and the most amazing artist. Mm-hmm. So she done us beautiful botanical illustrations for each scent. And the big thing for there was trying to make it stand out again, was to have like a print. So you get like a print with each candle.
Amazing.
Of the botanical drawn with each of the scent, you know.
Yeah.
And then with the Weekender ones, which I haven't released yet, I can't wait for people to see these. There's a great guy across the water called Ollie. His company is OS Illustrations. And he hand draws, like line draws, different sort of like scenes. It could be a surf scene, it could be mountains or a camper van. There's only 5 candles in that collection. So he's done 5 illustrations for each candle. And the candle itself, you only see the illustration in the front. There's no words, there's no text. It's just about the art and the scent. So we thought, like, without having to kind of say we're different from everybody else, shouting it from rooftops, we thought this was a nice way of kind of like just gently kind of saying, we've invested heavily. We've fed these people to kind of produce beautiful art for us, which you get with the candle, you know. So I'm not sure if it's an Irish thing, but we're terrible kind of shouting about ourselves.
Yeah, here, no, we so are.
For me, that was like a really gorgeous way of A, collaborating, because I love collaborating with people.
Yeah.
B, the end result is you get a candle with a piece of frame of art with it too, you know.
Yeah, and I think it'd be so cool to see, as you said, you know, you don't have kind of a title on it, it is just the illustration. And I think it's definitely going to be eye-catching, because people are so used to kind of the standard scents and the brand and all, and then they're like, what is this? Like, I need this candle.
Yeah, that's the idea. Just kind of, I love the idea of a candle with nothing on it but an illustration, you know, with a wee bit of text on the lid, but the candle vessel itself is just art, I suppose. One of the illustrations, the campfire and stargazing one, is an illustration of a wee tiny one of Teddy the dog. Sitting by a campfire, surrounded by trees. It's class. It really is, you know. Another big strange thing that happened for us was Teddy, my dog. He became his mascot for the business.
Aww, like, yes, I love it.
It's amazing. For a scented candle company to have a dog, the mascot is unusual, but people just love him. You know, like anywhere we go, if we go to Donegal or County Clare, people recognise him. Mm-hmm. From Instagram, and like we get selfies with him
where we go. Fantastic.
He's become this this amazing mascot for us too, you know. So it's nice to have him on the candle as well.
Absolutely. And just speaking of collaborations then, have you done any other collaborations in the past that you really liked, or is there any kind of collaborations you would love to do in the future?
Yeah, see, before COVID, we were on a real roll.
Yeah.
Had some amazing collaborations. So one of the biggest ones that kicked them off is Bushmills. So we collaborated with Bushmills on a candle scent, and then we've done like a series of workshops.
Amazing.
Where people got to sample types of whiskey while making a whiskey candle. That kicked off probably the dream job, which was Pinterest. They seen the Bushmills collab and got in touch, and they wanted me and a few other makers to come down And what it was creating Pinterest, but in real life for their staff.
Wow, okay.
So it was so phenomenal. It was a place down in Wicklow. My concept was to create the smell of happiness and then put that in a candle. The wee bit of science behind it is that grapefruit and coconut.
Okay.
And grapefruit is like a inbuilt thing. Apparently, whenever humans smell grapefruit, there's chemicals in the brain that are released. It doesn't make you happy if you're like intensely sad or anything, but just kind of softens the edges, I suppose. And then coconut has strong associations with the smell of sun cream, so people just
going on holiday.
There's warmth, sand, and all that there. So for Pinterest, we've done this massive workshop. It's about 80 people at it. We talked about sort of the science of happiness and how you can introduce scent rituals into your life to kind of just make your days a bit better. And then everyone made a candle, but it was brilliant. It was like the collaboration of all collaborations with Pinterest, like, you know, so that was a big one. But in the future, I think I love the idea of going to like a cafe or a pub. Because again, before COVID, we had done this here amazing night and it was called an autumn gathering. So it was a combination between food with cocktails, candle making, music and foraging.
Mm-hmm.
And we've done it all ourselves, which is kind of crazy because it was too much, I think, looking back on us. I went out to the area around the house and foraged tons of foliage and flowers and plants. So each person got to create their own little foraged bouquet.
Oh, fantastic.
We had live music, we had food, we made all the food ourselves, cocktails that we made ourselves with all the forage, berries and stuff we made, and then candle making too. In the future, I'd love to do one where we bring people in. So we'll bring a florist in to help with like the flower arranging.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe bring a catering team in, like the edible flower guys, because they're just incredible. But that'll be my sort of idea of the future, kind of like a big collaboration between a few different people all by this one evening. It'd be great to do like a seasonal thing. You would do one for autumn, winter, spring and summer.
That sounds absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, I miss them. It was like, whenever it was over, it was like, we sat down and thought that was one of the best evenings we've ever had. It was a shame because like, when COVID came in, they were all on a roll. Google had been in touch about doing a big workshop in Google.
Wow.
Pinterest one and the autumn gathering just happened. And we were on a real nice roll with it all.
But yeah. Then
everything had to stop and it kind of took momentum out of it a bit. But it's something we really want to focus in on again now next year and sort of get them going again.
That's so exciting. Well, I can't wait to see. Do you know who you're collaborating next? Like Pinterest, Google, and that's amazing.
It's incredible. It really was.
What would an average day look like for you then? Obviously, I'm sure COVID has kind of impacted it a bit, but do you know, are you kind of making candles yourself or out foraging? I know you're always out with Teddy, which we love to see.
Average day, well, we're quite lucky now. So I was working from Belfast. So I live in a wee village called Ballykilner, which for incidentally, in a very far twist of events, means town of the candle maker, which
amazing.
Living here 2 years and this came about, we found out that we were currently living in the town of the candle maker.
That's so funny. You can't move away now, you have to stay there.
I know, we're kind of stuck here for now, but the previous studio was in Belfast and we were finding the commute was just, we just could never get it right because the old studio was in the bottom of Ormer Road and it was just traffic.
Yeah.
Our days were just dictated by trying to get in and out of Belfast from traffic. So we moved the studio to Castlewell, this amazing little unit came up, and we're sharing with Phil and Lisa, who are the people behind Once Upon Dadland, which
makes
them look good. Incredible screen printed art and frames stuff. Shared workspace is just a dream come true because it's just like-minded people in a shared space and the space is class. So we love that there. So that's kind of dictated our days now kind of revolve around a short commute, which means that the morning time starts off with a walk with the dogs, getting down. It's a beautiful walk in between here and the studio. It's the old railway line towards Dundrum. And it's beautiful. It's just no matter what time of year, you use the mountains, tons of foraging. Every time of year you go, there's different things available to forage for. Head on in the studio, and then Gemma is working with me now, so she's our full-time. It's just changed the business. It means that there's, for the first time in a long time, a good work-life balance.
Yeah.
Generally, when we get in, we'll get the web sales done first. So the web sales will be the first thing to get done. But before that, there, the wax melters go on, so we'll get the wax loaded up into the machines, and it takes a good few hours for them to melt. So generally, like a perfect day would be get the web seals done before lunch, and then the wax is melted, and then we prep all of our containers, so the glass jars, the tins all get ready. I get the scent ready, add to the melters, mix it up, and then start pouring. That'll be a perfect day, but that's the dream. Like, so we get maybe once or twice a week that'll happen, but then real life kicks in, and there's paperwork to get done, or there's deliveries to do, so they kind of get into the next two sometimes, you know. But we try and get the dogs walk at least twice a day, because Teddy, he needs to run. He has to get big runs. But again, we're quite lucky. There's a beach just down the road, beautiful beach, called Ross Glass. Mm-hmm. And I would go in for a little dip if the tide's high enough, we'd go in for a quick swim before we get home. But it's so mixed. You know, we'd try and have like a good routine. Like, but a real day is just getting up, grabbing coffee, get the dogs walk, get in the studio, start working on what we were finishing yesterday, and just get on with it. Like, you know, but it's good though, because with having two of us working on it now, it makes a big difference.
Yeah, I think it's definitely good to obviously have your routine, but it's quite nice in a way that it varies, because then it always keeps you on your toes and it always keeps it interesting. And I'm sure it's nice for you to get out with Teddy as well, because you do kind of get a break from it for a while and can clear your head. And yeah, I'm sure it's fantastic.
Big time. It's good thing about Castlewellan too is that the forest park. So if I miss a walk in the morning with them,
yeah,
you can get out at lunchtime and you're in the forest in 10 minutes. We found in Castlewellan, there's I think it's called the Arboretum, this massive, incredible walled garden at the top side of Castlewellan Forest Park, which I've walked past, I don't know, 1,000 times. And one day, about 6 months ago, we took a dander in there and we just couldn't believe how beautiful it was. There's like the most incredible array of trees like I've never seen anywhere. Like, got redwoods, like those massive redwoods you see in America, two redwoods.
Wow.
And a great place to unwind. And it's only a short walk from the studio, so it's... The days tend to be dictated around getting the walks in, you know, and we kind of work around that. And then there's a great cafe too in Castlewellan called Birch, which I'm obsessed. It's almost ruined coffee for me because the coffee's so incredible. It's kind of hard, but well, keep our priorities are good coffee and good walks, and the rest kind of falls into place.
I love that. So I would be quite busy with work and radio and podcasting and everything, but always whenever I get home, no matter what time of the day it is, I always have to take Ebony out. But now it's getting darker earlier, so by the time I get home, like, we don't have time to go to the park and throw the ball because it's dark, and she'll look up and I'm like, you can't see it. Like, we have to just go for a walk, and it's so boring. But there's been times,
I know,
and it's like honestly 11:30 at night, and I've just finished, like, I finished work and then I finished more work, and I'm like, I need to get her out. I just need to get out of the house. It's mad trying to fit it all in, but it's a nice break because you have to do it, so you allow yourself to kind of switch off for like 30 minutes or an hour.
Big time. And the easier thing to do is not to, you know, the easier choice is just to sit down and not do it, like, you know, but it's always worth it. Once you kind of get 2 or 3 steps out, then it's always, this is worthwhile.
Yeah, because you feel so much better immediately for it as well. Like, even if it's raining or it's cold, like, you can just zone out in a way.
Big time. So important. I find, like, the swimming, we might only get into the water maybe once or twice a week, but see, not even a swim, to be honest, it's just going into the cold water, kind of splashing around, screaming, and kind of run back out and drying off. Because whenever you do that there, like, you think of nothing else.
Yeah.
Your brain just, it's almost like survival mode. It's just like, it's so cold, and you're only focused on getting in, getting cold, and getting back out, getting dried off. But it's like 15 minutes of just nothing. Your brain doesn't focus on a single thing other than how cold it is, you know.
Yeah.
So that's what I find has made a big difference.
So does Teddy get in the water with you, or are you on your own for it?
Oh, Teddy doesn't get out of the water. He would choose to swim rather than do anything else. He loves the water.
Amazing.
Like, it's been once or twice we've had to, like, swim way out to get him back in. Keeps going. During lockdown, we've got a cool paddleboard, so we're riding paddleboard as much as we can. And so we have this harness Teddy to the front of it, and tie him on me away. He just pulls. I'm sitting there just as happy as anything, just doing no exercise and work, just being pulled up and down the beach by Teddy.
Amazing. Discovered my dog, she likes the water, but she hates the beach. Do you know, I think it's the waves.
Yes.
But if we go to, like, Island Hills quite close to us, and the water's quite still, and she will not get out of the water there. Like, she loves it. But say at the beach, she's like, no.
Yeah, the waves, whenever we first started getting Teddy into the water, the waves were a big deal to him. He didn't know what they were, you know.
Yeah.
But he literally just runs and smashes his face around them and just to get past them.
Yeah, so Ebony will always go for the ball. So that's how we get her in, you know, throw the ball, and then she has to do it for the ball because she just loves it.
Yeah, that's class. We tackle him now. He's not fond of the water at all now. So we're trying to get him into it. See, he had a really bad start in life. We tackle him. He had, like, he came from Bottom People, the guys out in Banbridge.
Yeah.
He's over 5 months now. So we went down about a month ago. I think he's very badly treated at some point.
Mm-hmm.
So we're still working on his confidence and kind of building up. But the water is a bit much for him just yet, you know.
Yeah.
So, but we'll get there, like, because if I'm going to the beach with Teddy for a swim, It's yeah. kind of decking like a car, like, you know, so we'll build his confidence up just slowly but surely.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll kind of like follow in Teddy's footsteps in a way, and, you know, just kind of, oh, Teddy does it, it's okay, do you know what, I can do it, because I know my sister has a wee puppy, a wee Staffy,
and
you can definitely see her like learning from Ebony, but then Ebony also learned some bad traits from her, and I'm like, oh no, it's going the wrong way.
Yeah, it's too. We'll get there, but initially Teddy was very kind of, like, Teddy's been number one for the past like 5-6 years.
Yeah.
So having that little extra being in the house has thrown him. So for the first 2 weeks, Teddy's ignored him. Teddy just didn't acknowledge Declan's existence at all. And all Declan wanted to play and cuddle beside him. So
yeah.
Like if Declan went and even sat beside Teddy, Teddy would get up and storm off in the next room.
Just... Oh, that was like Ebony with my sister's dog, Stevie. Ebony hated really? Her at first, and is now, she's grown to like her because she has to, do you know? She's not going anywhere.
Yeah, I think Teddy's beginning to tolerate him now, so it's definitely in the right direction. So it'll be the same situation, I'm sure.
So you kind of touched on it earlier, but where do you think you would love to see the business? Like, say, 5 years' time, do you know what would be the big dream for the Beard of Candlemakers?
Brilliant question, because it's changed. This idea has changed a lot for me over the years. So yeah. I've kind of gone back and forth. Initially, I wanted the business to be massive. I wanted it to be like candles in every decent shop in Ireland and selling to America and wholesaling and getting bigger premises. But to be honest, in the past 6 months or so, my ideas of what that means has changed an awful lot. I want to grow the business, definitely. But what I've found is the business has been growing very slowly and organically over the past sort of 6 to 8 years. And I was starting to push quite fast and starting to scale up quite a lot.
Yeah.
And stopped enjoying it as much. You know, it's the stresses of like becoming VAT registered and all these big things started happening sooner than I had wanted. So for the next couple of years, my intention is to grow, just to grow slowly. Having the candles in every shop sounds amazing, you know, but the reality is very different than that there. So we actually pulled out of wholesale for most of COVID, which is a strange move because a lot of companies were kept going by wholesaling.
Yeah.
The wax couldn't be guaranteed. So obviously, as a candle maker, you have to have wax. Global shortages and with Brexit, oh my word, Brexit has put us through every loop going. We couldn't guarantee they would have enough of the raw materials to be able to wholesale. So we kept a few of our shops that we've been with the longest, kept going with them and had to say no. And it's such a strange thing. We're so lucky because I'd say every week we get 2 or 3 wholesale requests, which is amazing.
Yeah.
But we've had to say no because we weren't too sure if we were going to be able to meet demand. So now that things have begun to settle again, next year the big focus is going to be back on wholesale. So get back in a few key shops and build that up slowly. And then next year as well will be the workshops. Again, pre-COVID, we've done a lot of workshops, like maybe once or twice a month. And we want to get back into them. We haven't got big plans for next year. Next year is more about, I guess, more recovery from COVID. You know, we still had a good year last year, over the last 18 months with the website and stuff. Next year, for certain, is just about stabilizing the business and approaching wholesale properly, getting back into that there. And then beyond that there, I think the end goal would be to have a team of maybe 4 to 5 people in the studio working away and letting the business sort of take over to the point where I can work on more collaborations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, for example, the two collections I mentioned, the Weekenders and the Botanica range, it's easily like 3 to 4 years of work in the background. Just whenever it's free time, I would sit down and work on it. And it's too long to work on a collection of candles, you know.
Yeah.
So the dream would be to kind of step back from as much making, because obviously I'm still highly involved every day running of the business. But within the next few years, kind of step back more on like the production side and just be great to work with more, you know, even just like a one-off collaboration that mightn't go anywhere, but just for the joy of working with somebody else. So that's the plan over the next few years.
Yeah, I think kind of Northern Irish businesses do collaborations so well. Like, there's one I always shout about was Zara Ceramics with Olivia's Haven.
Yes, yeah.
That's how I first ever discovered Olivia's Haven, because I love Zara Ceramics and the fact that they do different things but kind of made their products work together with the wax melts and then the burners. And do you know, wee things like that, I think it's fantastic. There's so many businesses that do collaborations and I just love to see it.
Big time. There's so many talented makers here.
Yeah.
It's almost obscene the amount of talent that's going around, you know, from incredible coffee shops to people like Zara Ceramics doing beautiful work, you know.
Yeah.
Not very good at shouting about it, you know. So, but when you scratch the surface, it's amazing. It was great. We're doing this new market at a place called Elmfield Estate.
Okay.
Near Craigavon. It's like the dream market, you know. So again, because of COVID and stuff, we had been doing St. George's every weekend.
Yeah.
And I have made the hard decision not to go back because, well, for two reasons. Just want weekends back, you know, because St. George's was every single weekend. Unless you're kind of part of the older system where you can leave your stuff there during the week, you can down, crack it down every Saturday, setting up your stall, taking it all down on Sunday again. And just, it was quite relentless. And it's tough too, because St. George's was a big part of the business. You know, it helped. The exposure you got from being there was incredible. And I loved the market, but market life was just very taxing, you know, just physically as well. Like you spend most, like today, Friday, for example, you spend most of your day Friday prepping for the market. You have all day Saturday, all day Sunday, and then Monday you're exhausted and you're not really worth much. So a two-day market turns into a four-day, and 4 days out of seven for a self-employed person is a lot to kind of be not making and the rest of it. So we decided St. George's, after COVID, we're not going to go back. We want to do a few markets, one or two a month. So we do the Inns Market, just amazing, and Elmfield. And you see when you walk around either market, see the makers. Literally every single time, I'm blown away by just how incredible and how amazing the talent is out there, you know. A small example would be Miss Organics.
Yeah.
You know, the work Carol puts into her products blows my brains every single time, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm such a convert now. I use nothing else. On my skin is made by Carol. And just her attention to her craft is just off the chart, you know. And then you have like Deli Maru, who does the most incredible preserves and jams. Her stuff is just, it just blows me away, you know. So between those two markets, I just became reacquainted with just the talent in Northern Ireland. You know, I'm just like looking around going like, you guys are smashing it, you know, every single time, you know. So like the idea of collaboration then is even easier, you know, because they're just right in front of me.
Absolutely. And I think it's so interesting to see, but there's sometimes like it completely catches you off guard. Like I know I was at the food festival over in Hillsborough Castle. This was a few years ago. And I'd brought my boyfriend and we were just walking along and he was like, that's my hairdresser. And his hairdresser's wife, now I don't remember the name of the company, but she makes it like chutneys and relishes and things. And I was like, what a small world. Do you know that? And he was just helping his wife like man the stall. But you always know someone, you know, there's always somebody close by that like has this fantastic business and somebody that you just don't even know about.
Big time. That's something that we've actually talked about in the studio. Because the shared workspace has worked so well, we'd love to do something like on a bigger scale.
Yeah.
It's probably not likely anytime soon, like, but the idea was always out there that, you know, we'll get like a bigger workspace and invite other makers in the area, you know, because even around the Castle Wellen area, the amount of makers around there, you know, because the Moor Mountains inspires so many people in so many different ways. You know, it could be art, it could be scented candles, it could be ceramics inspired by the mountains. You wouldn't know what it was. And even food, see the food producers around Castle Wellen now, incredible, you know, they're all there. It'd be great to have like a communal space for people to come and like rent the space out for a while and work and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
But just kind of get people together again. That's the thing too, like working in the shared workspace has been brilliant, just for bouncing ideas off each other, just for like helping each other out, you know, because like all small businesses go through the same trials and tribulations. And if you're speaking to someone who's been through it before you, they can help direct you around it. And just again, that idea of collaboration, it doesn't have to be like a business collaboration where you're both kind of producing a product together. It could just be sitting down, having a cup of coffee and just talking over something.
Yeah, just like working together. Whenever I was chatting to Bark and Ample, she was saying, so she makes kind of like doggy apparel, little bandanas and things. And she was chatting to Gemma over at Hiker Hounds, who makes the collars and the leads. So it's similar.
Sense.
Yeah, isn't it amazing? It's like it's similar products, obviously different, but Gemma was so supportive. It's so nice to see, like even if businesses do similar things or completely different or whatever, that they still help each other out.
Big time. Yeah, that's a big thing here. I've noticed like the amount of advice I've been given over the years by people in the same industry has been incredible, you know. And it's kind of good too, because it means that people aren't threatened and are happy to kind of offer that information.
Yeah, there's no gatekeeping.
Yeah, it's great to see, like, so it really is.
Well, Michael, just to wrap up then, What is your favourite local business?
Oh my word, that's tough.
You can have a few if you can pick one.
Do I know? I'll actually go back to Mr. Organics. Mr. Organics. Yeah, I find Carol's products are just, obviously they're all handmade. The amount of work that goes into each of them, you know, like some loads of the stuff that Carol uses, she forages herself.
Wow, and okay.
When the tinctures, and they'll be sort of set aside for weeks or months to kind of get the benefits out of whatever flower or shrub she's been working from, and they go into her products. And genuinely, I think she's one of the best out there in terms of quality of the product. Carol's just one of the nicest people I've ever met. And I love going to the markets with her because it's just banter. We just have a really good time together.
Yeah.
I love her branding. I'm big on visual, so I think her brand is out of this world. It's genuinely just the quality of the products that go into her stuff. You see the words like organic used an awful lot these days, and you always have the kind of question just how organic something is, you know, but the quality of the ingredients she uses is, on the island anyway, up there with the very, very highest quality, I think, you know. And then the proof in the pudding, like, I've been using her stuff now for the last few months a lot, and like, I've noticed my skin, everything has improved, and her stuff's brilliant. So yeah, I say Miss Organics is up there.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for coming on today, Michael. It was so, so lovely to chat to you and get a kind of behind the scenes of the business and everything.
My pleasure, it's lovely.
Isn't he just so sweet? And honestly, if you haven't seen Teddy before, you 100% need to go and look on Michael's Instagram. It is literally just the Beard Economy Makers, and just see how beautiful Teddy is. And during this episode, Michael mentions about his collections. He says they're coming soon. We have the Weekender collection and the Irish Botanical. Well, good news, they are already out. We recorded this a little while ago, so feel free to head over to his Instagram or his website, have a little nosy and make a little purchase. And if you enjoyed this episode, please go over to Apple Podcasts or Spotify, wherever you listen, and let me know by reviewing or rating and just giving your general feedback. I would really appreciate it. And I'll be back next week with a brand new episode.